It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And as usual, we are here in the studio on this sunny, bright Saturday morning. And here it is, the seventh month of the year gone. Well, hours from being gone. Where does it go? I do not know. School kind of fixing to start up everywhere.
A week from Tuesday.
Yeah. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
See people going out for their shopping trips and the getting the kids oriented and all that. I don't know when. Are we having a tax-free weekend?
It starts today.
Oh,
It's a week, actually.
Oh, tax-free.
So, yeah,
week.
That's okay. Why my wife is out doing the school shopping.
She's right saving now. All kinds of money.
Yeah, exactly.
With her
by spending
American
money.
Express card.
Yeah.
I think I know that one. As financial people, we're pretty well in on all these tricks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I missed that. I was thinking about it on the way out here. They know when schools are starting, they ought to do it. So, okay, everybody, well, you know, whether you're buying shoes or clothes or even some things like computers, there's a large list of things that you can save your ever-increasing property taxes on. So there's no better way to make money than to save money. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Go save some money. Support your local people. It's a good thing. Anyway, welcome back to all the regulars. Well, we count on you every week. That's why we get up and do this all the time. But if you're new to this show, try to stick around and listen to it. We'll talk about all kinds of fun things, and you will learn something, I promise you. No matter how useful or useless, does not matter. You will learn something. And we will, of course, talk about all the things we want to talk about, unless you'd like to change the subject. And that's easy to do. You just pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255. And we will take your call and discuss whatever it is you're interested in, whether it's saving money, making money, or what-ifing about who knows if it pertains to dollars. As we've often said, the personal finance world affects every single one of us because we all need it to live on. And this week we didn't have quite as much of it as we hoped we would by the end of Friday. Wasn't bad. We did close out a good month, but we didn't close it out on a high note, unfortunately.
Yeah, whether it was Amazon missing on their earnings estimates or the kind of, I'll be nice, incompetent messaging coming from the White House right now about COVID.
You think?
I mean, this has been so bungled, it's amazing.
But, and even when one of them's interviewed, they have to tweet out a correction to their own interview.
I mean, can we get on the same page, please?
I don't think it's possible.
Anyways, whether it was one of those two things or the combination of them, Friday was pretty weak.
Yeah.
And but the Dow and the S&P were off just 0.4% for the week, and the NASDAQ was off just 1.1%. And despite that, the NASDAQ was up 1.2% for the month, the Dow 1.3%, and the S&P a very solid 2.3%. So really can't complain about this week when you're tacking it onto a month that looks like that.
No, and look at the year-to-date. Big numbers.
Yeah, really good numbers. So so nothing to get worried about there. I think that we're seeing a little bit more volatility recently, mostly just surrounding the news, and people are debating. And it's showing in the trading. Are we going to stay open? Are we going to close down again? And the answer, as usual, is somewhere in between there. Some states are closing down again, masking mandates. And even some cities here in Florida, I read Palm Beach and Miami both have mask mandates back in effect.
Oh, gee whiz. And they're run by?
Yeah. Anyways.
Oh, by the way, you might think a week would turn out better than this one did if you start out by setting three new records.
Yeah, this is true. It was a strong start to the week for sure.
But that isn't the way it went. On the other hand, when you set all those records, it just reaffirms that the bull market is alive and well.
Yeah, and the really nice thing was that small caps participated. We saw pretty good breadth in the market of new all-time highs. It was over 50% of stocks that trade in the S&P were at their high.
Yeah. So if you look under the obvious numbers, that it was an amazing week because so many things did so well. Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How is it out there?
Well, my ex-wife and her husband are really sick with COVID, and they said there was a two-hour wait in the ER. It seems to be a spike lately, but
yeah, there is.
We're hanging in there.
Yeah, it's definitely there's definitely a spike in Jacksonville. Sort of leading the country right now. So, yeah, be careful out there, everyone, especially if you haven't gotten vaccinated.
Yeah, we won't tell you how to do what you do, but be careful.
I want to kind of throw a curveball at you guys and ask your opinion. It's kind of off the subject, and that is, you know, these morons that are pushing vaccine passports in not only our country, other countries, do you think that that is... I mean, it's hard to say this, but is that maybe the mark of the beast?
It's one of them. You know, and in my adult life, which has been, I suppose you could argue, about 50 years long, this fight has been going on every day as to whether we need national ID and vaccine cards and all that. And we have been fighting it. Those of us on the far right have been fighting the whole national ID thing for a long, long time. And this is just another run at it, in my humble opinion. And I'm not for it at all, as you can imagine. Adam may feel differently, I don't know.
No, I don't. I don't think it's necessary. I think that, I think it's a power grab.
Yep. They want us to obey, and they have a way to do it right now that is the implied threat of COVID is so big that they can find handles on it to attach themselves to. So, yeah, I'm with you. Absolutely.
I'm sorry, Chuck. Go ahead.
No, it seems like the CDC has become a political animal, and they're just taking their marching orders from the White House, and it's just become so politicized that it's just poisoning the atmosphere, and nobody trusts them anymore.
How about some other three-letter acronym types that are being weaponized by the White House also? Mm-hmm. Just off the top of my head, FBI, CIA,
DOJ,
IRS. Yeah. The government is turning into a weapon for those in charge right now, and it's got to be stopped. It's going to hit us in the wallet pretty soon, and that's where I draw the line for sure. So, yeah, you're preaching to the choir here, but nonetheless, it's worth talking about.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, it's just 2022 can't get here fast enough.
You got that right.
Amen.
Yep, you got that right. I hope the people are understanding and we can hold out that long and then do something about it that's really important to all of us. Because it will, as I say, it's going to affect our wallets here pretty darn soon. So give your best to your ex and her husband. And
yeah, I hope they're all right. And I do have some good news on that front. I'll get to in the next segment.
Good. So I'd give out a trivia question, which I will, but it's going to be after the break. And if you want to call back, take a shot at it, please do. Otherwise, have a great day. Well, that's no good news to start a day, is it?
No, that part is pretty bad.
Yeah, but... As you said, you have some better sounding stuff on the end.
I do.
There's some worldwide experience with this Delta version that leads us to believe that we got to get through it. But when we do, things will get a lot better. So let's be optimists, and we'll have a little more fun on the other side of the break. And we'll give out a trivia question that has to do with real estate. And stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we do have a trivia question brought to you, as usual, by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. And this week, we're going to have it presented by my cohort.
Yes.
That would be you.
I guess it is.
That guy who's always sitting right across from me here.
So... There are, of all the cities tracked by the Case-Shiller Home Price Index.
Which is 50 or 30?
I believe it's 30, I think. So they're the major metropolitan areas within the
big
U.S.
Ones.
You would know all the names of these cities.
Probably been to a few.
There are only two that have not surpassed their peak home prices from 2007-2008, so pre-housing bubble. Mm-hmm. What two cities are they? And I need them both.
Yes. Yeah. You can get one, and that would put a range on it, but it won't get you a prize.
Right.
So All right. What two cities housing has not returned to pre-housing bubble?
And I actually have to give a shout out. I was getting my TSA pre-check. This, if you don't know what that is, it's so you can move through airport security faster. It's a you pay a fee. It's good for 5 years. And there's a little office in a industrial park in, I guess, Arlington probably, that called Identigo. Anyways, I walked in and the guy looked at my driver's license and said, "Are you on the radio?" I had a celebrity moment, so it was pretty fun. I just wanted to give a shout out to, you know who you are, but at Identigo, a good little business. They're very efficient. I was in and out of there in 5 minutes. So
great. Well, we love encountering people who are listeners. You just never know. They're all over the place. You only hear from 4 or 5% of the listeners at any given time. 95% or better of people who listen to a show will never call it. So that's why I tell you, when you do call and ask questions, that it helps a lot of people, because they get the same kind of questions you do. They just won't call in and ask. So
it's very true.
Never hesitate, and we don't bite.
All right, back to the market wrap. There, this month being positive on the S&P is actually the sixth month in a row, and this has happened a number of times through history. It's not unusual to see 6 months of gains in a row. I think this was the 29th time it's happened. And actually, forward returns from after all of those occasions are, on average, better than normal. So it is not a bad sign. That
trend
we've been
is your friend.
Yeah, exactly. So might not want to take some profits, but August and September are typically the weakest months of the year. So just keep that in mind.
Not a disclaimer. It's just a piece of information.
Just FYI.
Yep.
So there were several sectors inside the S&P that had nice gains for the week. Materials was actually up 2.7%, probably having to do with the potential infrastructure deal. Energy bounced back 1.9% after a couple of rough weeks, and financials were up 1.3%. Consumer discretionary was the biggest loser, down 1.3%. That had to be on virus fears.
That's a virus-related number for sure.
And followed by technology, which fell just over 1%, and that was probably on the Amazon miss. So,
The miss.
Yeah, they still had one of the best quarters on record for a company in the United States. It was just below what they were forecasting.
Four quarters in a row. $1 billion.
Yeah, record. Profits and
unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean they're doing really well. I say a miss, but it was only versus expectations.
Yeah, and I constantly remind myself that back in the 90s when they were starting up, I said the only problem with this company is they will never make a penny of profit. If that doesn't keep you humble, nothing will.
Yeah, that was not the right call.
No,
the biggest loser this week was China, and it was all self-inflicted. They were down almost 5% on the week and are down more than 6% on the year. They're one of the few global stock markets in the red for 2021. It's all driven by themselves cracking down on private for-profit. This time it was education firms.
Mm-hmm.
The government has decided they are too profitable. According to the communists, the industry has been, quote-unquote, hijacked by capital. And so they banned firms that teach school curriculums from making any profits, raising capital, or going public. And if you're wondering why that's happening, my guess would be that these firms were much more successful in doing these things than their communist counterparts. And the government doesn't like that very much. So
competition is a bad thing.
Exactly. So what do? They just say no more. And
that's last time it was the coin miners.
Yeah.
Just boot them all out of there for unauthorized use of electricity.
Isn't communism great?
And that's why so many of us are supporting it so hard in this country, right?
Exactly. Commodities had a nice week, gaining 1.8%, although natural gas didn't contribute to that. It dropped 3.5%. I don't think there's been a more volatile commodity than natural gas this year. It's been all over the place.
From under 2 to 4 and not a very much time at all.
Yeah. Gold and silver actually posted weekly gains over 1%. And then the bond market saw some weekly gains as well as yields continued to drop this week, which is pretty surprising because they've gotten pretty low, down under 1.25. So on the 10-year. So I talked about COVID a little bit. I said I had some good news, and I do. there's two really good examples of what happens when the Delta variant gets hold in your country. They are India and the UK. And in both cases, the spike is very, very steep. Case growth is crazy, especially in India. If you go and look at the chart, it's amazing. But it burns out really, really fast. So the fall is almost as steep as the spike. So you kind of it almost looks like you just have to get through the initial phase, and then it returns back down to pre-spike levels very quickly.
The English chart is exactly the same. It's not like this is a one-off in India. It seems to be the pattern with
India
this particular
is just super,
strain.
It's really dramatic if you look at the chart.
What happens when people are living in great big numbers in very small spaces.
Yes, that is true. By the time the government issues mass mandates and gets everything the way that they think is the best way of dealing with it, it's probably going to be on the downside of the spike. Yeah. So let's see what happens. Stay safe out there. Jacksonville is a hot spot right now. So if you're not vaccinated, be careful.
Yeah, it might be a good couple of weeks to just kind of play it cool.
Yeah, and that's what's happening right now. If you look at Google search trends in places like Florida and California, they were all about travel, all about reservations, all about things, pre-COVID activities. Well, that has turned around fairly dramatically. Those search trends are trending down pretty hard right now. So people are noticing. People are smart enough to figure out how to deal with this thing in the way that they see
it. It's partly related to the back-to-school time, too, where families have taken their vacations. They're home now preparing
for kids going back. Yeah. One thing I did notice this week was that job postings, actually there's a company called Indeed that does job postings. Mm-hmm. The postings for jobs are now 37% higher than they were in February of 2020.
Yep. 37%. That's pre-COVID for those of you that don't have your calendar in front of you.
The strongest growth is in Northwest and the Southeast, so right where we are and in the Northwest. And then the lowest postings are in Colorado. This is interesting. Colorado implemented a law that won't allow employers to ask candidates what they earned previously. That started in January of this year.
I've read that too, but I thought that that was kind of a no-no for people anyway nationwide.
Oh, no. You can ask what people make. There are a lot of questions you can't ask.
Right.
Discriminatory questions, but previous salary that's the only place. And so I've listened to a podcast on this recently, and job employers are hiring nationwide and they are excluding Colorado. Unintended consequences strikes again. So people don't want to hire people in Colorado because of that law. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's incredible.
We get a lot of questions about housing recently, and it's been a tough one to figure out. I mean, the market's been on fire, as everybody knows. Locally, if you listen to Howard and Angela, they definitely talk about that. Mortgage rates have stayed near or even gone lower recently. They're really, really low. Home prices have been increasing. The Case-Shiller Home Price Index was released this week, and it showed month-over-month increase of 2%. That's an annual increase in a month. In a lot of years, and the annual rate was over 16% nationwide. Neither of those numbers are sustainable. You can't continue that sort of price growth. It just won't happen. But the biggest gains have been in Phoenix, Seattle, and San Diego, and those gains are between 28% and 30% since the start of COVID.
And you know what my response to that was? Seattle?
Yeah.
I would be bailing out of Seattle.
People aren't
doing that.
No, they're buying houses apparently.
Crazy people.
Yeah, I mean Phoenix and San Diego, I kind of understand.
Well, sure.
Although neither of those places was cheap to begin with. So
no.
Another 30% on top of that is pretty incredible.
But Seattle, man, there's just no way you could keep me there with what's going on in that place. And I guess if you're one of them,
to each his own.
It doesn't matter. All right. Well, looking down the road, the market, there's a couple more fun things going on. The semiconductors are considered a bellwether for the market in general. They closed this week at an all-time high. That is a very, very, very good thing. Apple got kicked, although they basically doubled profits. You know, you can't go on any one single thing like that. The market's a little fickle that way. But if you look at the earnings season itself, the earnings beats are about 59% on the earnings and about 77% on profit. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
Quick correction on a misstatement I made at the close. The earnings beats are at 77.76. Revenue beats are at 77.35. Both of those numbers compare with the long-term averages that are in the 50s. This earnings season is looking spectacular, and it looks like it's got the mojo to carry on for another 3 months. That is why I remain a bull in the market.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons that China I'm bullish show. Right now. There really is. The economy is doing very, very well despite the news. I feel like we say that every week, but it really is.
Well, it is. So big time. Oh, and as we were talking about in the break, it's now bigger. The economy is bigger than the pre-COVID days.
Yeah, real GDP was announced this week, and it grew at a 6.5% annual rate in the second quarter. That's an amazing number.
It is. We're back.
Yeah, and now it is. The expected was 8.4, so it did miss, but 6.5 is still really strong, and it is. Yeah, we're bigger than we were pre-COVID.
Yeah, we may have to start trading in our experts on some new experts.
Maybe.
They don't know anything. Do you want to repeat the trivia question?
Yeah, there are two cities that are in the Case-Shiller Home Price Index that have not returned or surpassed their pre-housing bubble peak from 2007-2008. What two cities are those?
And, you know, for those of you who don't follow this stuff very carefully, the Case-Shiller Index is a real albatross, and I say that in the kindest way. Most of the housing stats that you'll hear, they talk about things like the median price home. Well, that really doesn't tell you one thing.
No, it doesn't.
It tells you what's sold, but it doesn't give you any information. Case-Shiller tracks the same homes in the same locations
over time.
Yeah. So they are comparing apples to apples to apples, and I love them for that.
Yeah,
I wish more people would do it.
The only knock on it, in my opinion, would be that it tracks the largest cities, which aren't necessarily indicative of everything that goes on in America.
Especially nowadays when there's a flight from the cities out to the suburbs.
Yeah, that's true. In fact, some of the fastest growing job areas, at least, that's a stat I saw this week, are outside of big cities. In California, for example, some of the fastest growing job posting areas are Stockton, Fresno, all the inland cities in California, not the most populous cities.
Stockton's run by a bunch of weirdos, too. They've tried the universal basic income. Oh, boy.
I've spent some time in both of those cities and don't really want to go back.
I can understand that. Yeah. I can. All right. You want to hit a couple of little points here that we've been discussing?
Yeah. One thing I saw this week, I read the headline and I said, this is just the most American thing I've ever seen in my life. Jobless Americans sue Florida for ending $300 unemployment benefits early. So
it's America.
Yeah. I mean,
if you don't like something, sue somebody.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know what the merits are of that lawsuit.
I don't either.
Okay, get a job. I mean, come on.
Ready then.
And then the other thing was there was a very rare bipartisan bill this week that was that would classify Bitcoin as a commodity.
Oh, yeah. And now, what could cause such bipartisanship?
Well, dollar signs, as usual. What? Yeah.
So, follow the money.
You can read about it, but basically they want to tax all Bitcoin transactions, and right now they are not able to do that, and this bill would facilitate that. So we've been saying it as long as the Bitcoin craze has been around, but look out, they're coming to tax it.
But on that bill, they have to always show how they're going to, quote, pay for something.
Right.
They've got, I think, $28 billion in there how to pay for this bill as taxes on Bitcoin transactions. Mm-hmm. So any of you who believe that Bitcoin is this wonderful thing where you're totally autonomous and things happen without the government knowing. Might want to read a couple stories.
Yeah, and also there was that recent the hackers that were threatening the pipeline. They paid $5 million to them in Bitcoin, and then they were able to claw most of it back somehow. It seems really weird.
And they're not telling you how.
No, it's supposed to be completely anonymous, but if you think it is, you might want to rethink that.
I agree. Another thing that's going on this week, there was a group meeting in D.C. encouraging the Senate to get to the floor for a vote, the Secure 2.0 Act. And those of you who listen all the time know I'm a really strong supporter of Secure 2.0, which does a lot of things, some of which are totally irrelevant to our business, but everybody in the country would be touched somehow by Secure 2.0. It just really makes investing for the long term easier. It brings more people in. Automatic enrollment becomes bigger, stronger, and all that. There are some provisions in there for multi-employer plans, which, again, don't affect us. But it's a series of things worth contemplating. And I even hesitate to say this on the 31st of July, but they're running out of time this year. And I want this thing implemented this year for public reasons and private. Because
mostly private.
Come on, it's 50-50. One of the things it would do is postpone for another year the required minimum distribution age for people born after June 30th, 1949, which I just snuck through. So that would help. But I like the whole thing better. And there are a couple other provisions, too. But the thing that scares me, I always have to do some introspection here. Those of you who know Senator Ron Wyden from Oregon know he is a far-left Democrat. And I have been agreeing with him so often lately, it's scaring me.
On financial topics.
Yeah, because he truly is a worker-oriented guy, and I am too. People might tend to laugh at that, but heck, my dad was a union worker with a pension. I understand what goes on with those things. And there is something now that's called a refundable government matching contribution, which is for people who don't make very much money but put a little money in an IRA, and you get a tax credit for it. Well, he wants to change that and turn that into a matching fund for people who actually put the money in a 401k or an IRA, and then the government would match the funds. Well, it may sound kind of similar, but think what happens to 401ks when the employer stops matching, which happened a lot during the COVID years. And a lot of the times when the employers cut out their matching funds during COVID, their contributions of the workers went way, way down because people are in it just for that, it seems, or at least partly for that. So we're thinking that this would maybe bring those people and other people back into it. Those people generally work for bigger companies, but we're talking about individuals and small companies here that don't have ERISA type plans at work. So you put your money in an IRA and you get a matching fund, albeit not from your employer, but from the government. I think it has a little trace of brilliance in it. And again, it's sponsored by Wyden. So well, I give credit where credit's due.
There's another benefit to that too. Fundable tax credits or basically a tax rebate is going to get spent. There's no doubt about it. And that's putting the money directly into an IRA increases the chance that it will be saved for retirement.
And this also a good thing. Raises the contribution income limits. He didn't put a number on it yet, but it's for middle and moderate income workers, which that savers credit would not cover.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as long as you keep doing a good job, Senator Wyden, I will keep telling the people that you're doing it. How's that? All right, another quick note. I don't want to dwell on this week. We've hit it the last couple of weeks. But if you're getting that new child tax credit, you want to be very, very careful that you're actually qualified. There are income limits on it, and if the income they're basing it on is a couple of years old. So if you've gotten nice increases in your income in the post-COVID era, it may behoove you, if you're finding those payments in your checking account, to go to the IRS website and see if you're truly qualified anymore. This is not like before. When these credits are received by anyone, it is not a free gift from the government like all the others have been before it. It is simply giving you your tax refund that you normally wouldn't get until next year, this year. That's for those who are qualified. And if you're not actually qualified to get those tax credits, then you're going to have to give it back. And nobody's really said it yet, but there may be some kind of a penalty on it, interest or something, if you're not qualified to get it. Although, in my opinion, it would be their fault.
Yeah, I don't think they would.
Yeah, I think because the blame would really fall on them, it would be okay. But you don't want to get into a situation like that. All right, we'll be right back with one more segment. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And lines are open, 904-222-8255. And you could use that to either ask a question or answer a question. That question being, what two cities' housing market are still behind where they were in 07 prior to the big crash? And we don't really have any clues, do we? They're American cities and they're big. How's that for a clue?
And they're not, and they're for different reasons.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And that's all I'm going to say.
In the last quarter of the show here, I would say if you get one of them.
One
of the two.
I'm with you on that.
All right.
Yeah, Ken Bale's money. Sorry, Ken. All right. Everybody knows, everybody who watches anything, talks about anything, has any skin in the game, everybody knows that Social Security is in trouble. And it's in rather dire straits relative to what people want anyway. Here's the problem. Social Security, and I might add, incidentally, Medicare. But right now I'm going to concentrate on Social Security because Medicare is a topic with a slightly different twist. In other words, it's worse. They are running out of money, and they have to do something about it. And there is an underlying problem. That problem is that we, the older people, the seasoned citizens of America, are very particular about getting our Social Security and not having a mess with it. We did, after all, spend our lives paying into the system, and the promises that were made at the time are being paid out now, and we don't want that to change. And what that translates into, unfortunately, because Congress made the system and has only Congress can amend the system, that means we can't fix it without Congress. And the problem there is that any congressman, senator, anybody who starts to talk about how it needs to be fixed or benefits will be cut, whatever, is pretty much immediately unelected. And it has become known as the third rail of politics, where the third rail, of course, being the basic lightning rod. You're going to get thrown out if you try to fix this problem. And that's naturally unfair to congressmen everywhere. It's actually unfair to all of the people who are not yet collecting as well. It has to be changed. The problem in general is that when the system was started, there were many, many people who were paying into it, something to the tune of 30-1 for the people that are taking benefits out of it. Well, over time, that's eroded as more and more people live longer and longer. Actually, the life expectancy of people in the 30s when this was started was the same as the benefits date. So they figured on average half the people would die prior to getting a penny out of it. And that plan was working very nicely, and the people paying in were paying in far more than the people taking out. So that built up this slush fund that they call it, trust fund, and that has turned into just an accounting gimmick. It's a bunch of IOUs in West Virginia. But the problem there was it stopped working that way. As the younger generation is less numerous, shall we say, than the older generation, the baby boomers are collecting now, and the baby boomers didn't replace themselves at a one-for-one pace. So the people paying in now are paying in less than the people who are getting their benefits. Well, they've been chalking this up from an accounting standpoint as just sort of pulling the one by one, pulling the IOUs out of the drawer and throwing them away. Well, we're to the point where that's going to cross over pretty soon. And when that happens, it is illegal for Social Security to pay anyone 100% of their benefit. They can only pay what their income plus borrowing, reborrowing, or taking back from the trust fund is. So the estimate right now is that somewhere around 2034, what's going to happen is that everybody collecting, no matter what age, if you're collecting, and then people who start, will receive only about 79% of their scheduled benefits. And I know what my grandmother and mother would have said, and I would suspect that all of you out there have mothers and grandmothers and so on, that would look at this rather, shall we say, not nicely. It would probably be worse for politicians who actually lived through this and paid out less money than it would be if they'd stick their necks out and say the system's got to be fixed. Well, we've got maybe 10, maybe 12, 13 years, and unlike AOC, I don't mean till the end of the world. I mean till the system actually cracks and has to be pulled out. Well, bailed out. There are a lot of proposals, and a lot of them are perfectly of sound mind, but unfortunately they won't work because nobody's going to authorize a tax increase. So in my opinion, there's only one real way to address the fixing of Social Security, and that is to raise the retirement age. Now, those of you who are currently in the benefits receiving or about to be age group understand that back in the 80s, the full retirement age was 65. And Reagan went in and got a bunch of people together and bailed it out for a time period, some decades. But he did it on the basis of, okay, those of you who are young now, when you get to 65, your retirement age is going to be a little higher than that. My particular one was 66. They're now phasing in the system to take it all the way till 67. Well, now, actuarially, that's not enough anymore. So we need to get another incentive in there or another fix of some sort in there, even if it's only an actuarial fix. Well, how do you do that? I say you take people Adam's age and younger, and you say in 20 or 30 years out there, 67 is not going to be full retirement age for you. It's going to be up from there a little bit depending on your age. And by making that one tiny little move actuarially, the Social Security system becomes sound again for another period of time, many, many years. It's not really a fix to the problem, but it does reflect a couple of things that are important. People are living longer. They're living healthier. They're working longer. But it also, the way it's handled right now, and I don't know how we can sustain this, it's also taking care of the people who aren't as healthy and vibrant as some of today's 62s are, because it leaves the early retirement age at 62, which was also done under Reagan. So that's never changed. It's just the spread that goes up to the full retirement that has actually changed. Now, those of you who are, again, mature citizens, many of you know what the AMAC is, AMAC, called the Association of Mature American Citizens. It's a conservative older people's group that sort of competes with AARP for many things. I've been a member for a long, long time. I like their work, and they actually put out an excellent magazine they send to you if you're a member. It deals with a lot of these issues. Well, AMAC has come out with a proposal, and it starts with the change in the way the COLA, the cost of living increase, is applied. And they're doing it by income level. AMAC would increase the COLA for lower earners to a minimum of 3% with a cap of 4%. The highest earners would have a COLA ranging from 0.5 to 1.5, and in between, it would be an in-between scale that rises up. Now, that guarantees that everybody would get something every year, but the people who have higher payments would not get anywhere near what the lower ones would. I'm not going to even make a comment on that right now because you know, there's some inherent unfairness to it, I think. But it's partly like that now, the way they're doing it. So I'll just kind of skip over that for now. We'll come back to it. But AMAC has not yet evaluated the impact on their own proposal. They also want to have more money available at retirement, and they're proposing a Roth-style extra account voluntary called Social Security Plus that would be invested mostly in stocks. And this would be totally voluntary, and you can get it out. The only problem I see with that is it doesn't do a thing to help the system. It only helps a few people. You could do it on your own. So I don't know what's going to happen. Biden wants to put through the $400,000 earnings test, where right now they don't pay into Social Security. They're going to have to, I think. We need more taxes. But I'm going to follow this as time goes on and keep you apprised of how people are planning to fix it. Adam, the two cities that have not caught up.
Las Vegas and Chicago. Las Vegas because it went so high during 07, 08. Yeah. And Chicago just has lagged for numerous reasons, including political and weather and all sorts of stuff.
I wouldn't go there on a dare.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't buy a house on
a dare. Shootings have not helped either.
All right. Thanks for listening. See you next week. This is the Ben with Financial Hour.